Hello, everybody. Tonight's share is dedicated in memory of Izzy Chait, Arshal, Leo Nishman, Sisrael Meir Ben Yochanan, as well as Leo Nishman, Sisrael Moshe Ben Eliezer Halevi, and Leo Nishman, Shlomo Yeshaya Ben Yitzchak Shmuel. So tonight, to discuss Shemini, Parsha Shemini, Crime and Punishment. So we focus a lot on the death of Nadav and Avihu, but as a prelude to discussion or precursor, we understand that the day that the Mishkan was officiated in terms of getting itself fully operational with all the karbanos was equatable to the creation of heaven and earth. And then with the sudden news, the tragedy of the demise of Nadav and Avihu, this dampened the mood among Klal Yisrael as Aaron's two sons had tragically passed away. So when we think that this is from the Medrash, and when we go into the discussion about what exactly contributed to their deaths, the Chazal have been confounded by many different options that they present. And we look at Rashi, who always teaches us literal Peshat. When we look at the explanation that Rashi provides to us about what an Esh Zara is, we find two definitions, but none of them are consistent with the foreign fire. The first is Rabbi Elazar, who says, Shuhur Allah b'fnei Rabban, that they adjudicate a law in the presence of the master. And then you have Rabbi Yishmael, who says, Shtui ayin nechnesu, they walked in intoxicated with alcohol. So the concept over here is that these two explanations obviously do not line up with the foreign fire. In fact, even if we were to look at Shtui ayin nechnesu, we know that there's only a few psukim later on where it says Yayin v'shechar al teis ato v'necho itach v'vachem alo amoy v'no samusu, that means that you should not be drinking alcohol before you go in to do the service. So that follows the tragedy. But we can always lean on the Ramban, who says Ein mokdam l'lucha b'Torah, that the Torah is really not a historical book. It's a mor halacha. So whenever the instruction comes about, that's when it becomes applicable, even post facto. So after the effect, after the event, the Torah is informing us this is something that we need to guard ourselves before we go in. If you're a Kohen to do the service, you need to be careful so you don't walk in intoxicated. So we could address the Ramban and that particular explanation. Then there are other explanations that are provided, such as the Kliyaka, the Balaturim, Dasakanim, that say that, that one, they didn't get married. Number two, they didn't, or I should say number three. Number four, they did not have children. Number five, they hoped for the demise of Aaron and Moshe so that they can lead, and that they did not take advice from other people. That's really under the same umbrella. So we have to now that we've provided some explanations as to what contributed to the Esh Zara that led to their death, which the Sephorno explains gave comfort to Aaron knowing that his children died al Kiddush Hashem, you know, trying to do the sacrifices in their own way. Obviously, it wasn't consistent with what Aaron had done in the past, right? Because we say, Bezros Yevo Aaron al HaKodesh, and Rashi there tells us in Barloscha that Aaron was consistent, that every day he had the same zeal and enthusiasm doing the same avodah. And that takes a lot of strength sometimes to do things like that. But we have to understand that the pasuk says afapi, or the phrase is afapi she'esh yoredes min shamayim mitzvah lahavim min hahedyot, that even though a fire comes down from heaven, it still is incumbent upon the kohen to take that fire and to transmit it to other altars, other sacrifices, so that they also become ignited. Now, as a result of that happening, this is what gives rise to the discussion. So the Gemara in Erevin and the Gemara and Yuma both give rise to the discussion and say that, you know, they may have made the fire look like it was man-made, and if that's the case, then it's not coming from a divine source. That could be another contributing factor. But I find one explanation that synthesizes all of the various explanations, even though they really present themselves as being quite diverse, and that is from the Ginzi Yisrael, written by the Chartik Rav, Rabbi Yisrael Friedman, who we know is the Rav of Vienna, Austria, before World War I. And what he says is that the pasuk says that it was an Esh Zara. It doesn't say Esh Zar. It says Zara. Zara in the feminine sense, which means that Nadav and Avihu were great people. But they also believe that every one of us is just as great as they are. And if that's the case, then we all receive the same download from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we do receive the same download, then our Torah is just as precious as everyone else's. So in a way, they believe that everyone in Klal Yisrael, especially on the day that the Hakamas of Mishkan was established, which could have been the day that Mashiach could have sensibly come into the world, that we were on such a high level that we had already fulfilled our responsibility of Na'asa Adam, which is we will make man. How do we do that? Through our help of Yedidim, Chaverim, Mishchenim, Rabeim. Every one of us has a tafkid to perform in order to help each other rise to the occasion. So this is what we have to understand, and so if that's the case, then it's really a deviation from the Masoras HaTorah, because we start our discussion of Pirkei Avos with the language of Moshe Kibbol Torah Mesinai and Masor LeYoshua. Moshe received the Torah and he gave it over. So there's a Masoras HaTorah that has to take effect. The Masoras HaTorah is also the second type of Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought into the world. There's a Torah Shebikta, there's the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh is Mishnayos, and then that translated itself by Rav Yehuda Nasi into print, because he was concerned that people were forgetting the Mishnayos. And then from the Mishnayos comes the Gemara, and from the Gemara comes all of the different Limudim that we extract on these varied Pesukim. So this is a critical ingredient to the success of Klal Yisrael. We need the Masoras HaTorah in order to function, in order to survive. And if we deviate from the Masoras HaTorah, any attack on the Masoras HaTorah is a capital crime, is a capital punishment. And so that's the reason why they were punished. So if we go back to the reasons, we can now understand. We say that they adjudicated law in the presence of the master. That was a foreign fire. Why is that a foreign fire? Because it was no longer coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was no longer coming from the Masoras HaTorah. It was coming directly from themselves. They believed that they had the same knowledge to adjudicate law, just as great as Moshe and Aaron. So that was penalty number one. Penalty or clause number two is that they walked in intoxicated with alcohol. If they believed that alcohol would be able to enhance their clarity, their pichas, which is their sharpness of mind, then they used whatever they felt was at their disposal, because that's what they have to use, that's what they have to do. If we say that they didn't have children, if we say they didn't get married, there's another name for marriage. And nisuin also means to be noseba o chavero, to lift the burden off of someone else. We say that your wife is your helper. And so in marriage, a husband and wife help each other get through the challenges, and also they share in the successes of life. And so therefore, together they work on building a Jewish home. And when they do so, that's how they help each other get through those challenges in life. And so if they're not going to be, there's no need for me to lean on someone else because I have all the resources at my expense, then I really don't need anyone else's assistance. And then we also can look at those same words and see the word Nasi, which is like a prince. And that prince is somebody who is able to take the burdens of individual members of Klal Yisrael and address them so that people have comfort and understanding and knowledge and a game plan as to how to succeed. So if we remove the Masoras HaTorah and if we just understand that everything is coming directly from Hashem, right, in terms of a direct line without any Masoras HaTorah, then there's no need for that Nisuin to take place. And therefore, there's no need to have children, because children are the next generation. They would be the ones, don't call them children, rather look at them as builders of tomorrow. Every one of us has the same download. Everyone has the same capabilities. There's no need for us any longer to fulfill the requirement of Na'asa Adam. And the last explanation we discussed is that they don't need to receive advice from other people. If there's, again, the same language, the same understanding, they understood that they were just as great as Moshe and Aaron. They were just as able to dispense advice, guidance, and the determination of Jewish law, and therefore there was no need for them to seek advice from others. And all of this is tantamount to a foreign fire, because it defeats the purpose of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world, such that we would be able to help each other get through those trying, difficult situations. So the question then is, will there come a time when we will be able to speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not necessarily rely heavily on the Masoros Torah? And it's possible, because at some point in the future, as the Torah says, "Vaydabar Hashem Moshe v'Aharon leimor aleihem," to speak to them. You normally, the pasuk ends with the word leimor, so says the Kedushas Levi, that the word aleihem refers to the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was careful to be not to yonek, not to nurse from an Egyptian woman, because in the future he is going to speak to El Pez, mouth to mouth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, so too for us, we have to be careful with what goes into our mouths, because we have to be careful, and you know what comes into our mouths is also a precursor as to what will come out of our mouths, and that also speaks to another level that we have to be careful that we should not say lashon hara about certain hechsherim, because if we're malsh on the hechsher, then that's really a question as to whether or not we were careful with the products that we're consuming, because if we're eating kosher products, we should also have kosher speech, and that requires us to be careful with what we say. So in so much as what we intake is also part of the outtake, we have to be consistent throughout. And with that, that explains, hopefully, the Eish Zara in the feminine form and not in the masculine form. And that's the explanation as to why Nevin Avihu may have passed away. There are other explanations, obviously, that might come to light, including a demonstration by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem is in control. Any deviation, however slight, is met with a very stiff punishment. But all of this also could be explained, as the Chartikul Rebbe explained in a Sefer Gimel Yisrael. I want to wish everyone a week filled with bracha b'atzlacha. Thanks so much for joining tonight, and have a great, successful week.